we're going to go here, and then we're going to go here, and we're going to go here, and unless the Lord kind of directs us over here, and we're just going to go, and we're going to share the gospel, and nothing's going to get in the way. So if you're with me, you're with me, and if you're not, then get out of the way. Kind of a Paulish kind of understanding, at least the way I see it right now in the text. The gospel needs to go forth. We need to be committed to doing it, so let's do it. And trustworthiness is important. I need to trust you if you're going to come with me and we're going to share together. You needed to be counted on. Now, there was a young man that we heard about here in the text that had been with them earlier and left them. We don't know the exact reason why Mark had left Paul and Barnabas, but he left them a while back. Just left them kind of hanging. Paul didn't like that. I don't think Barnabas liked that either, but Barnabas is a little different character than Paul is. I see in Barnabas someone who is a little bit more of a compassionate person. He sees Mark has come back, and he's like, I'm just glad he's here. Even though he left us for a while, I'm glad he's back. He too thinks the work is important. Barnabas does. Barnabas, maybe a little more so than Paul at this point, he believes in second chances. And he says, you know, Mark left us. Yeah, I know that. But he's with us now. I'm willing to take him under my wing, and we're going to go, and we're going to minister, and he's going to be okay. Let bygones be bygones. A little harder for Paul at this point than it is for Barnabas. And again, as I said, Barnabas is saying in this text, you know, at least Mark is with us. And he was with us before. And yeah, he might have messed up for a while and left us hanging, but he's with us right now. You see, we see this in the text. Barnabas wanted to take Mark with him. But Paul did not think it was wise because he had deserted. That's the word he uses. He has deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. Now, it does say in this text here that there was a sharp disagreement with him. Not just a casual kind of whatever. You like the Wolverines and I like the Spartans. Whatever, you know. This was a sharp disagreement. That's what it says in the text. It was a sharp disagreement. And they parted company. We don't know the whole scenario here, but I believe what happened, and I'm going to interject here. Barnabas couldn't understand why Paul was going to be so stubborn. And he said, I want to take Mark and go. Paul, who was kind of frustrated at this point in time, said, all right, then just go ahead and go. But I'm going to go elsewhere, and I'm going to take Silas with me, and we're going to go someplace else, and we're going to share the good news. Now, I look at the text here, and I think it seems like the church, or at least the brothers that were with them, the extra Christians that were around them, those who were probably being discipled by Paul and by Barnabas, it seems to me, as I look at this, that they were kind of siding with Paul. I don't know if you and I were there. I wonder what you would have thought. Some of you would have been Paul-like. Hey, you let us down before? I'm sorry, you're not going with me this time. You need a little more time to think about it because I don't think we're ready for you yet. Or there's those of you who are maybe a little bit more like Barnabas. He's back! I'm just glad he's back! And he's back now, I want to take him with me. What I want to say to this text, to us in this text is, I think God was using both of them, even in their disagreement, to finally bring about a good and godly purpose. You and I could argue here this morning about who was more right than the other. I tend to be more of a Barnabas. I'm more of a, you know, hey, they're back. Give them a chance. You know, yeah, they blew it for a while, but, you know, let's give them a chance. Because I was given chances when I grew up. I want to give them a chance. I might need a little bit more Barnabas. So I would tend to side with Barnabas and say, Barnabas, you did the right thing. You took Mark with you. And there's some of you say, no, this is a serious business about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know Mark was with us, but he left us and he came back. I'm not sure that I can trust him. This is really, really important. You see what's going on there, the tension? But what I want to get to this morning is arguments or disagreements in the church. If they're not cardinal disagreements. Now, I want to clarify here. If the disagreement in the church is over a cardinal truth, you can't agree to disagree. What I'm saying is, if someone in the church says Jesus is one of many ways to come to God, I say, I'm sorry. I totally disagree with that, and that does not jive with Scripture. That's a different kind of disagreement than what's going on here. It's more of a personality thing. It's more of a, you know, and some might argue, well, I was Paul, by not being nice, was he sinning because he was not giving Mark the kind of chance? I don't know the answer ultimately to that question. He was serious about his faith. He was serious about the gospel, and he didn't think he could trust Mark enough at that point in time to take him with him, where Barnabas could. I throw that out to the church and say, you know, the church can sometimes disagree with each other on certain things. Churches do that a lot of times over stupid stuff. I don't like that color of the carpet. Get a different color. Why did you put that color in the church? Or why is this stationed over here when it should be over there? We moved this from here to there, and it's always been there. Those stupid arguments. They are stupid. You know, sometimes people want to drag the pastor in on those. I say, forget you, chump. I am not going to deal with those kind of arguments, because there's a lot more important things to deal with in the church than those kinds of things. But you see how the church gets in arguments over stuff? We need to recognize when these arguments are not important, when these arguments are not ultimately cardinal things in the church that we have to hold to. We need to recognize that and learn to live with each other. And sometimes you can coexist in a disagreement, and maybe both people partially get their way. You ever heard of compromise in the church? Sometimes we need to compromise. Don't compromise on our morals. We have to compromise in some other ways sometimes too, right? And I think we're learning right here, even with Barnabas and Paul, that they were looking at things and they wanted to be right, like I always wanted to be right. But they parted, I don't think, and we don't get the larger story here. I'm sure they left with Paul thinking I'm right and Barnabas thinking he's right. But I don't think they left each other with such bitterness, because they came back together too and did work later on together. And in fact, guess who was with them? Mark. Paul, later on in Scripture, calls on Mark. I need Mark to go with me. Isn't God wonderful? If we'll allow Him to work. So you and I could argue over who was right. Paul choosing Silas, and seeing the brothers were commending him to the grace of the Lord, and it seemed like he was going with their commendation, and Barnabas and Mark just kind of took off to Cyprus and maybe didn't receive as much acclamation or commendation as Paul did. I don't know. But the outcome was this. The word spread in both cases. God was working in Cyprus through Barnabas and Mark. God was working through Paul and Silas in Cilicia and Syria and elsewhere. And isn't it amazing that God takes our inadequacies, God takes our mistakes, God takes our shortcomings, and He can still work through us in spite of that. So I stand here in confidence that God can even use someone as stupid as I am sometimes to do His work. I won't say you've got the same issue I do. Some of us claim it. Yeah. But God can use us in our weakness. God can use us in our mess. God can use us. You know, some people come to me and say, God can't use me because I've done so many bad things. You don't get God's grace. You don't get God's grace. God's grace says, it's gone. It's gone. It's over. I forgave you. I took care of it. There was a phrase in one of the songs this morning about being as white as snow. That's what He does with us when He forgives us. And you know that. The word, in this case, spread in both cases. God could even work in disagreement. If that is so then, that it is so now that we can live harmoniously even in disagreement. So I don't think the church needs to be afraid of disagreement. We need to invite God into that disagreement and ask God through His Holy Spirit to work in that disagreement to bring about something that works best. And sometimes it means both situations can be accommodated when it's not a cardinal issue. There was another example in this text, and I'll close shortly after this. It's interesting. We just talked about the Jerusalem Council was talking about, the Council of Jerusalem was talking about this whole problem with some of the Jewish Christians who were saying, now, if you're a Gentile and you want to be saved, you need to be circumcised. And they just said here at this council, they've settled the argument that you don't need to be circumcised. If you are a Gentile, we are not going to ask that you have to be circumcised. We're putting something on you that shouldn't be put on you. In fact, if we're putting that on you, we are basically disagreeing with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which says you are saved by grace through faith, not by works or a work of circumcision or anything else. You are saved by grace through faith. So he said, we're going to put that on you. And then we come to chapter 16, and here's Paul, and he's meeting with this young man, Timothy, who is a Christian, and he's a half-Jew, he's got a Jewish mother, a Greek father, and they're going into a Jewish area to preach the good news. And Paul, in talking with Timothy, thinks it's probably wise for you to be circumcised. Just because I know the context we're going into, it's probably best. I don't think this is contrary to what we heard previously. You know, there's the text in Scripture that talks about, to the weak I am weak. To those under the law I become as one who's under law. To those who are not under the law I become as one who is not under the law. So by all possible means, I could save some. By all possible means that I could draw people to Christ. So I'm going to become all things to all people. So by any possible means, I can bring them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, that phrase, become all things to all people, doesn't mean I become immoral. You know what? If I am going to minister to a prostitute, I better become one. That's not what he's saying, okay? Clarity here this morning, because sometimes we take things to the oomph degree. And that's not what he's saying at all. But I will do whatever it takes to the extent that I can be positive in my witness to bring someone to Jesus Christ. If I have a buddy who's an alcoholic and I want him to come to a bar and have some drinks with some other friends, I am not a friend. I'm not a friend. Here's an example of becoming all things to all people, so by whatever means I can draw them to Jesus Christ. So, if I am with a brother who is weak, well, that's just one of many examples, and they're struggling with something, then I want to make sure that whatever I'm doing with that brother, even if I look at it and say, whatever it is, I don't have a problem with that. I don't struggle with that. So, no. I want to be whatever I need to be so that my brother can be encouraged in his faith, so I can draw him closer to the Lord than ever before. That's what I want to be for that person. You know what, folks? It's never about us. It's about others as Christians. It's never about me. And sometimes we make our Christian faith very selfish. It's always about the other, because Jesus always made it about us and never made it about himself, did he? So I don't think Paul contradicted himself when he had Timothy circumcised. I think he was looking at the context and saying, you know, this is what we need to do to be most effective in the ministry that we have when we go here to these places. Context sometimes dictates a different approach, doesn't it? As long as the gospel is never compromised. I want to be clear about that. As long as the gospel is never compromised. Keep the main thing. The main thing. Never compromise on those cardinal things. But don't let minutia take over the disagreements. That's my encouragement for us today in the church. We may disagree on some things. Most of the time those things are not really that important. They're not moral issues, but they're disagreements nonetheless. I pray as the Church of Jesus Christ, we can agree to disagree. And God can work in the context of disagreement as well, like He did here. That's what we can learn today. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God, let's pray. God, we thank You. Thank You that You use us in spite of ourselves for Your glorious purposes. I know, God, there are so many people that come to me and say, you know, I don't want to go to church because I've been hurt by the church. If everybody stays long enough in the church, there's going to be an opportunity for someone to be hurt because it's made up of a bunch of imperfect human beings. Some of them trying their best to imitate You. Others who are not even there yet. But God, help us to reflect You as best we can as the Church of Jesus Christ. And help us to be willing to say, I'm sorry and forgive me when I don't act the way I should. Help us in disagreement to be filled with Your Holy Spirit presence to come to solutions that can honor You. That the world needs to see how the church operates in disagreement. And I believe we can operate in love, in mercy, and in grace. And we give You thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's turn to closing.